And as a lead into this text, I'll share with you this. By the way, the message is called Going the Extra Mile. And but before we get to there, we're going to go with the Miracle Mile. How many have heard of the Miracle Mile? Yes, a number of people have heard about the Miracle Mile. Certainly, Tim Russell has heard about it. He was a sports writer for 30 years. And regarding this fellow, it was said that it couldn't be done. No man could ever run that fast. It was humanly impossible. There was no way anyone could break the 4-minute mile barrier until Paul LaRoche did it. He was here for Sunday school. I had to go to another church where his granddaughter is being baptized today. However, in 1954, a man from England named Roger Bannister did just that. His time, 3 minutes, 58.8 seconds. Wow. From that day forward, it was known as the Miracle Mile. Currently, if you're interested, a Moroccan holds the record. Hicham El Gharouj. Repeat that. 3 minutes, 43.13 seconds, as opposed to 58.8 seconds. So some improvement, but not by much. Not by much. But there is another notable mile, as I've mentioned already, the extra mile. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read what the text here regarding this mile. Begin at verse 38. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it hath been said, for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Who's speaking? Jesus. He's speaking. He's teaching. He's preaching. Okay. If God is talking, we should listen. 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. How many in here do that on a regular basis? Not that you get smacked in the face regularly. Are you not inclined to smack back? I am. I'm not saying this has happened. Don't go telling everybody, the preacher down there. He smacked somebody in the face because they hit him. But he hit first. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. I'm not giving somebody else my other coat if he grabbed my jacket. 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. There's that mile, the extra mile we're talking about this morning. Continue. 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Can I tell you that's a hard thing to swallow? If we're being honest, your humanity does not like your enemy. And yet Jesus says, love your enemy. You know what? Jesus loves your enemy. You know, Jesus went to the cross for your enemy too, just as much as he went for you and I. This is some hard sayings. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Everybody does that. Do not even the publicans the same? I mean, those wicked, money-hungry, deceiving publican tax payers, tax collectors. They love their family. They love the people who love them. 47, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Yeah. Yeah, they see their friends, they wave. 48, but be ye therefore perfect, mature, complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's a tough thing. In this portion of Scripture, Jesus raises the bar of expectation. He raises the standard to which Christians are to live by. Jesus calls upon His followers to go the extra mile. That's what I want to address this morning, because this is hard stuff. My insides, who I am, doesn't want to do this stuff. I have to make a decision. I'm either going to obey Jesus or follow my feelings. Four quick points regarding the extra mile, the principle of the extra mile, the practice of the extra mile, the power of the extra mile, and the purpose of the extra mile. The principle. The people of that day were under Roman law. Roman soldiers had the authority to compel anyone to carry their bag up to a mile, but no more. This baggage typically included their very heavy armor that the soldier used in battle. And it was common for these loads to weigh up to 100 pounds. Now consider that. We're not talking a little duffel bag or a lunch carton. A bag that weighed maybe up to 100 pounds an entire mile. He would then secure the services of another man for the next mile. It's Roman law. Now, Jesus didn't come on the scene and say, we should all form a rebellion against the Romans. Because if he did, I'm on board. I'm not carrying that bag for them, these oppressors. Jesus comes on the scene with a new perspective, a radically different view. Jesus required that a man not only go for a mile for a Roman soldier, thereby fulfilling the law, but expected him to go an extra mile. That goes against the grain. I mean, if you're human, it goes against the grain. But that was the principle involved. Go another mile, Jesus said. And I'm sure when Jesus first said that, everyone that was listening to him said, looked at him, what? Notice the practice of the extra mile. Consider how bizarre and extreme that sounded to the Jews. Carry a 100-pound bag a mile and you want me to go too? With the guy I hate and the guy that hates me. In that day, three things were considered contemptible in the eyes of the Jews. Spitting in the face. Slapping of the face. They're kind of contemptible today, too. And carrying a Roman soldier's bag. The Jews detested these things. They were demeaning. And they hated the Roman soldiers for it. Jesus also said to offer your other cheek when one had been slapped. Jesus also said to offer your other piece of clothing when one piece had been taken. How radical is that? I don't want to do that. And yet he tells us in the Bible, love your neighbor. It's a phrase that's in the Bible some 10 times. Love your neighbor as yourself. You'd read it. Love their neighbor. Leviticus 19:18, Matthew 5:43, 19:19, 22:39, Mark 12:31, verse 23, Luke 10:27, and so forth. 10 times. Love your neighbor as thyself. I don't know about you, but I like this guy. He's got his faults. He's got his issues. We take pretty good care of self. And I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. I got good neighbors. I love people. But look at what Jesus says to do in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, wait a minute. I love my neighbors. I may not even know them. But I love them. God, you told me to love them. But my enemies? Ones that don't like me? That hate me? May even mistreat me? love them? Are we able to do that? I'm asking you this morning a very practical thing in your life out there, not in here. Is that the way you live? I don't always live like that. If somebody cuts me off driving, my wife has heard me say things. I'm not talking about cursing and swearing. But she will calmly say to me, "Do you think they hear you?" No, they don't hear me. I reacted in the flesh. He's my enemy. He could have killed me. All the things go in your head. Mostly it's an issue of pride. He's ahead of you and you wanted to be there. Are we able to do that? Love your enemy. Are you able to do that? People live and operate on three different levels. Note this. Number one, returning evil for good. That's a hellish level. That's of hell. That's of the devil. People treat you good, you return with evil. Hellish level. Returning good for good and evil for evil. That's the human level. That's where we usually find ourselves. People treat you nice, you treat them nice. They treat you treat them bad. Human level. But here Jesus is talking about another level. He's talking about a heavenly level, a holy level, returning good for evil. Love your enemies. Now, oftentimes when it comes to the scriptures, we have no problem carrying out a whole bunch of it, accepting it, moving on. But there's certain places like this that's pretty hard to do, if you're honest. How do I operate on this holy level, this heavenly level? I'm but a human. Romans chapter 12. Would you turn with me? Romans chapter 12. And notice, if you would, beginning at verse 18, Paul teaching here. And he says this, Romans 12, verse 18, beginning of verse 18. He says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." You're talking about an enemy. Somebody's done you dirty. Somebody's done you wrong. Don't do it. "Avenge not yourselves, but rather," okay, opposite, "give place unto wrath." In other words, yield to God for his wrath to take care. "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So let him take care of it. You know, he never does too much or too little. He knows exactly how to correct the situation. Give place, yield to God. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." God will use it in his life. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Love your enemy. Be different than humanity. You're a child of God, a child of the King, represents your God. Be obedient to his word. Now again, to be practical, somebody slaps you in the face, what are you going to do? "Well, you may try to explain this away. That's not really what Jesus was talking about. Because I'd put his head into the wall." You got a good punch? That's what we want to do. Slap back. Get even. Get even. May we acknowledge this morning that sometimes we're not very Christian. That comes out of us. It's in there. And we want to get even. And the last thing we want to do is love them. Jesus said, let him have another cheek. Jesus, I'd let it go the first one. You're of your father. You're a child of the king. And I have a big plan, big purposes. And I need for you to get off your high horse of self and humble yourself and love that person. It's tough stuff. But the principle, the practice, there's power in the extra mile. If you are and I are willing to accept this truth, like everything else that's in here, it tells me how to be saved. I believe it. And I ask God to forgive me of my sins because he loves me and save me. And he does. And I believe it. But we come to other areas and we have a little more difficulty in application. But there's power. God's hand of power upon the obedient child of God who can put self aside. Never underestimate the power of obedience to God. A couple stories here. Jesus had raised the bar, and a believing Jew obeyed the instruction that Jesus had given. When compelled by a Roman soldier to carry his bag a mile, the Jew not only cheerfully lifted and carried the bag a mile, but continued another mile as his Lord had commanded. During that second mile, the puzzled soldier inquired as to why he would do such a thing. The Jew proceeded to tell the soldier, whose heart was now softened, about Christ. Because there's power in obedience. We have no idea the doors that God intends to open when we would rather slam them shut. We're his children. He's got the big picture. He's got the big plan. The providential hand of God is working. Gave a testimony this morning about those two young fellas. Nomads as a family, traveling the country. End up stopping happenstance at a church in Wiscasset. Where the new pastor there, in one of his final roles, at another church back in Portland, is going to conduct a youth rally and invites them to come. That's the providence of God. God had ordained that them two boys would be sitting in here and hear a message from the Bible and we'd both be struck, I need to be saved. Well, it's because there's some obedient people in play who didn't have the big picture. So when we approach these things, this hard saying in the Bible, and we acknowledge the reluctance of my spirit, my humanity to obey, I must obey the Bible and ascribe to God's wisdom and knowledge and big picture plans that I will fit in because I will do what he wants me to do. There's power in obedience. There was a Marine recruit, Christian, who because of his nightly praying by his bunk, was pelted by the other recruits with their boots. That night, when the others were all asleep, rather than pelting them back, he gathered all the boots and meticulously polished each one. The next morning, each recruit found his own boots, finely polished by his bedside. What kind of impact do you think that had for the cause of Christ? It may have seemed quite humiliating. And I got to tell you that maybe if a boot flies my way and hits me in the head, I'm picking up that boot and I'm looking for the person who delivered it. Human nature. And God says, don't do that. I'll take care of him. In fact, love him, and I have plans for him, but I need you to do what I've told you to do. And it's an amazing thing when there's obedience like that, that the power of what God can do in the lives of others, he's also doing something in you. He's changing you. Have you ever retaliated and not felt tense? You carry it. You got an enemy, man. You fester it. You let it fester. You nurture it. Why you dislike or hate that person more and more. And any bit of garbage you can add to the picture, you grab at it to hate him more. You're in your own mess. You're in your own emotional mess. You developed a ball and chain that you're going to carry because of that individual. Okay? You'll go through life. Yeah, he didn't get the best of you, but you're tugging him. The burden of carrying these weights. When, if you follow the word of God and be obedient and love that individual by the grace of God, you're obedient. I'm not talking about fuzzy feelings. Somebody punches me in the mouth, I don't have fuzzy feelings. But if I obey God, he does something in here. And how I feel to that person and how I react to other people changes. And I'm not carrying that ball and chain. I'm not dragging it anywhere. And in time, by the grace of God, I might even see, it might even be revealed to me how God actually works in that person's life as a result of it. Not always. But the power of obedience to the word of God. It's not all about us, is it? Vengeance and retaliation have no part in the Christian's life. There exists a bigger purpose to facilitate, a bigger picture to apply. One more story. Scott Harrison, out of Waterloo, Iowa, he notes the Associated Press story, September 1994, about Cindy Hartman of Conway, Arkansas. She walked into her house to answer the phone and was confronted by a burglar. He ripped the phone cord out of the wall and ordered her into a closet. Cindy Hartman, dropped to her knees and asked the burglar if she could pray for him. I want you to know that God loves you and I forgive you. The burglar apologized for what he had done. Then he yelled out the door to a woman in a pickup truck. We've got to unload all this stuff. This is a Christian home and a Christian family. We can't do this to them. As Hartman remained on her knees, the burglar returned the furniture he had taken from her house. Then he took the bullets out of his gun, handed the gun to Hartman, and walked out. It's noted, praying for our enemies is incredibly disarming. They don't know how to react. I'm not saying that this is what we would do and that this would be the outcome. I am saying this. There's power in obedience. And the decision to be obedient or not is in your hands and mine. Wouldn't you agree that Jesus knew what he was talking about when he gave us such a commandment? Was it just a suggestion? Would you consider? No, he said, love your enemies. Do good to them. Which brings us from the principle, the practice, the power of the extra mile to the last, the purpose of the extra mile. And I think we've alluded to it throughout the message. Matthew 5:45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. That you can identify as a Christian. That you're one of his. That ye may be. That you'd act like your Father. Demonstrate his heart and his love for mankind. Who, by the way, watched his son be crucified and mistreated by the Roman soldiers and nailed to the cross, writhing in agony, and the Father watched that. So he's not telling us to do something he hasn't done. He's telling us to be like him. It's one of the purposes that we might represent our Father. 1 Corinthians 10:33, Paul says this, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Another purpose. Ultimately, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another purpose. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God receives glory. Another purpose. God has all kinds of purposes for the Christian who's willing to go the extra mile or be that person that God wants us to be. We can do more than we think by the grace of God. And the more we do, likely the more impact we'll have by the almighty hand of God. We can impact lives, even in negative settings. We trust God. We believe His word. We need to make a decision to obey even that portion of Scripture. Going the extra mile can often bring about a breakthrough in someone's life. Let's be determined not to operate on the human level, but on the heavenly level, the holy level, to the glory of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As we come to a time of invitation, a time when decisions are to be made. God is always looking for a response. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. We can ascribe to it. We can accept it. But the step to take is to obey it. And where are you this morning? Anytime we hear the preaching of God, we come into the church, we're to leave a little bit different. Unless you came in perfect, and I didn't see anybody come in like that. We need to be more like Jesus. Be obedient to Jesus, that God can accomplish His miraculous works among lives. And so it means putting aside pride, putting aside that human inclination, not living on the human level, but this morning saying to God, "God, this is a hard saying, but by your grace, I'm going to obey. I'm going to allow your grace to flow through me. I'm going to put my pride aside." Wouldn't that please your God this morning? Would the hand of God be upon you and your life for your obedience? That you would see a demonstration of His power in the lives around us. Not just the family and friends and neighbors, but enemies as well.